Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our third budget meeting. So we're getting close to determining our tax rates for 26-27. We did receive, and we have one regret this morning. Councillor Cool is unable to be with us this morning. And we did have a request come in from the town of Shelburne regarding the library costs. And Nicole, thank you for bringing that up for us. So this is a request for financial support for operational costs associated with the McKay Memorial Library for 26-27 fiscal year. So we're going to have to give staff decide where we're going, I guess, with this request this morning and provide staff with direction. So CAO, did you wish to speak to this matter? I know you have some information on this request.
Yeah, not a problem. Can you just scroll it up just a little bit so I can see the final amount that they're requesting on there? Or is it the 13,562? Yeah. So the request on with regard to this has been that we cover a portion of their operating costs. My understanding is that the town actually leases the building from another organization. But in addition to the money that both ourselves and the town provide to Western libraries, they have an additional cost for the operating costs for the building and the facility itself. And they're asking for a contribution from MODS to the tune of $13,562.5 for this year and presumably for future years, I would expect. They haven't identified if it'll be for future years, but I think that is an assumption we can probably make at this point in time. There are some considerations before you enter into discussion amongst yourselves that I think you should be aware of. Right now, our grants to organization policy indicates that we provide only one grant per organization. Presently, we actually provide two grants to the town. We provide $5,000 for Grant Park, and we provide $3,500 per year for the Visitor Information Center. We also mirror that contribution for the VIC to Lockport as well, provide a VIC contribution there as well. We also have provided quite a significant contribution to the town wharf in two installments. The total amount escapes me right now. I think it's around about $150,000, something like that. In addition, there are a number of organizations within the town that we do provide funding for. We provide funding to the museum, to the Osprey Center, to camps, George Street Mill, and the Sailing Academy. I think it's also important to point out that we do offer parks and recreation services to residents of not only the district, but also to the town. We don't distinguish who applies, and we don't treat them any differently. And we don't keep records of what percentage of people are from the town or from the district. There are also a number of facilities within the district that we own and operate ourselves directly, but also community groups that we assist are used by not only district residents but also the town. These would include Welcome Park. So we own that 100%. We operate that 100%. We don't ask the town for any assistance on that. Ohio Ball Field. We provided quite a significant amount of funding to that group. I don't believe the town has provided funding for that, and town members would be using that as well. Trails, Jordan Bridge, we're in the process right now of doing final scoring on Jordan Bridge. We'll be putting, assuming that moves forward, we'll be putting a significant investment into that. That bridge would provide direct, I guess, traffic directly to the town for their local businesses. We also put a lot of money into our trails. The one that would be used probably the most by town folk would be Roseway Trail. So that gives you a sense of, I guess, the dynamic in terms of funding that we provide to not only the town directly, but to groups in the town. And then also the dynamic of what the town does not provide outside of the town boundaries to ourselves. Thank you very much, Warden.
Okay, thank you for that. We knew that council would probably have more questions regarding the financials, so we did reach out to them and ask for a breakdown of expenses for the library for this year. And they did total for 25-26, the year-to-date expenses totaled $20,312.48. And for the 2026-27 budget, they're estimating a total of around $32,000. And the increase is due to janitorial contract. So I think the CAO had mentioned that, or maybe it's just in this email here, we pay, I'll look to the CAO, $34,000 to the Western Counties?
Yep, $34,100, yep.
Yes, and the town of Shelburne, they pay $13,400. So just to give you some of the financials that we received from them so that we can have an, I guess, a better discussion on what we want to do here. I would note as well in the letter, they do state that the data indicates that 58% of the users are municipal residents. Yeah, so open to a discussion on how we want to move forward with this request. Councillor Richardson.
The first thing comes to mind is that the only library in Shelburne that we would be looking at, I'm thinking of the one in Lockport.
Yes, the Lillian Benham Library, I believe it's called.
Because if I see them coming for funding, I would suspect that would follow suit. And I guess just to the point of we get into keeping track, the CAO has outlined a lot of things that we do over and above that everybody's open to participate in, and recreation, I think, is one of the leading ones. We've never limited use to just municipal residents. So I hesitate to do that, to support this.
Okay, thank you for that. I have a question for the Director of Recreation and Parks, if I may. Do we charge the town of Shelburne? No, well, I guess I know the answer because the CAO said that we don't keep data on who we provide recreational services to. Do they support any of the recreational services that the municipality is providing?
The town doesn't, and we don't. Okay. We haven't requested any.
Okay.
In the past. Either,
okay.
So.
Great. Thank you. Deputy Warden.
So I'm in agreement with Councillor Richardson that this is going to open a door for the library in Lockport. We're going to set a precedent that in the following year, we're probably going to get a request from them asking for operational expenses for the library in Lockport. I know they only operate limited hours, but however, they still have expenses that if we support this, then they would be looking for. I'm not in support of further funding going to the library.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Shand.
I fully agree with everybody else. It would be the same. We'd have to be kind of going back and saying, well, we also want support for Welcome Park, and we also want support from them for all the things that we do that are considered a shared service. So I agree that we do our part fully, and I don't support adding additional funds for the library.
Okay, and I assume when you say that, you mean the $34,000 that we provide to the Western Counties Regional Library. Thank you. And I believe, CAO, that That amount goes to support a position at McKay Library.
Yeah, that's correct. There's two positions there and our supports a percentage of both of those positions.
Okay, thank you. And Counselor Sutherland, if you can hear us, I know you're with us this morning. Did you have any comments that you wish to make as well?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You can hear me?
Yes.
I agree with Counselor Richardson. As well, I agree with everybody in this matter. We support, okay. We already support, so.
Okay, thank you for that. I guess I do support the comments that have been made here. We're all trying to provide the best services that we can possible. And I think the point is clear that, you know, with the different services that we provide to the residents, that we're not requesting that assistance. So I'm hearing consensus around the table that we will not be providing additional funding at this time. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. So for direction to our CAO, then we'll take no action on this matter.
Okay. Would you like me to draft a letter in your name to go back to the town?
Yes.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we can move on. CAO, I think you're taking the lead on the discussion moving forward.
Yes, thank you, Warden. And for the purposes of residents that might be listening to this, what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be asking the directors to provide some minor adjustments to the budgets for council to consider and make decisions on. These are items that have come up since the last meeting. We'll take direction from council on all of those. We'll be incorporating them into the budget. Between today and April 1st, residents will have a chance to provide feedback on the topics discussed today. You'll be able to provide feedback directly to Nicole Blades. Her email is nicole.blades@municipalityofshelburne.ca. The deadline, Nicole, that you'd require feedback would be okay. We require feedback from residents back no later than noon on the 31st, please. Thank you. We're also going to be discussing the economic model today and the assumptions that go into the economic model. The reason why we need consensus from council today is that depending on the decisions you make today, that will determine what the motions are going to be for the final budget meeting on April 15th. So that will be the final item that we'll talk about today, and then we can adjourn. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off just by going through the directors. Marcia, if you could hear me, I'm going to ask that you start off and identify the unusual items that you have. And then we'll ask councillors to discuss those items, and then we'll move on to the next director, so on and so forth. Marcia?
I'm sorry, you said unusual items?
I beg your pardon, that was the wrong word. Additional items.
Oh, okay. So subsequent to the last budget meeting, there were a couple of items that came up. In relation to projects, there needs to be an increase to the project amount that is currently showing in the budget. And I'm sorry, I can't see the screen because it's so little. Let me see if I can increase it. The dog control project, we need to increase that amount by an additional $25,000 to reflect some staffing costs for after hours and potential weekend coverage. So that number has to increase from $25,000 to $15,000. And the other item, hang on, is there's a potential project for a curbside collection study that would place us in a position where we could potentially do a countywide curbside collection. And there's some funding available that I intend to apply for that will pay for approximately 50% of that study. Our partners and our neighboring units have indicated in principle that they'd be interested in participating in the study. So I'd like to add a line for a curbside collection study. The cost is estimated to be $50,000, but I believe that we can receive $25,000 from the MEF funding, and then a contribution from the other four units within the county. So I'm estimating that the municipality's contribution would be approximately $10,000. So I'd like to add that as a project line as well. So those are the only two additions to the project sheets. I do have one small GL change, but it's to reflect a needed purchase that's under $2,000. So that's something that I can change with my next opportunity to make a budget change.
Can you please identify what that is now?
Yeah, it's just a cell phone for a staff member. Their cell phone broke last week. And since the funds are gone for 25-26, we just said we'll push that off till the new budget for 26-27.
And that's 2,000. How much was that?
It's going to be $1,800 added to one of the Public Works GLs.
Okay. All right. I'd like to open the floor now to council to ask any questions on these items and to provide direction to staff on this.
Okay, so we're looking at an additional approximately $37,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions or comments on these items, Councillor Richardson?
I didn't quite understand the study on the curbside collection.
Right. So our curbside collection contract was originally up for renewal at the end of this fiscal, but we've based on council's decision to extend that for a year, the curbside collection contract will come up for renewal at the same time as our neighboring units, which would essentially put us in a position where if we wanted to explore a regional model, now's the time. So this study would determine what the best pickup routes would be, what the best collection schedule would be. It would also result in a tender ready RFP package that would allow us to go out to tender to actually obtain a curbside collection service when our contract expires. And one of the things that we discussed, and again on a tentative basis with our neighboring units, was that we would potentially go to RFP for the regional model, but also have the RFP written in such a way that if we continue the way that we are now with us doing our sale of service model with the two towns, and Barrington does theirs with Clark's Harbor, we would be in a position that if council made the decision that they didn't want the regional model, we'd be ready to do our own RFP for our own service as well.
Thank you for that. That clears it up.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments on these items? Actually, I saw Councillor Shand first, and then Deputy Warden, please.
For the dog piece for that, so we're extending the bylaw officer hours to be able to do after hours. For that.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Sia, can you jump in?
Did you want me to jump in, or you're going to reply to that, Warren?
No, I said jump in. Go for it.
Okay, yes. So no, we're not necessarily extending the bylaw enforcement officer hours. However, we need to have coverage available after hours and weekends. And so that might be a combination of a dispatch center with a contract position or someone who's available in those after hours, or it could be bylaw enforcement receiving an on-call fee to be on call for those after hours. We're looking into a variety of options, but that $25,000 is the estimate of what we think we would need in order to cover an on-call fee and a dispatch fee for that time period.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Shand? Thank you. Deputy Warden?
My question's on the dog bylaw as well. We do have enough money in there for the training of our staff, correct?
Yes, we do.
Right. With the change in our looking at it in the coming, we may need that. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that staff are looking at different options that may be available for us with respect to that. Any other questions or comments? And Nicole, I'll look to you to let me know if Councillor Sutherland has her hand up at any time. Thank you. Okay, so we're good with those additions. Okay, great.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to jump in here on behalf of Jen Bell. She's not available today. She's just got one item for $5,000. She requires that money for a GIS mapping project for the 230 orphan PIDs with regard to the area rate that's been charged for the town fire truck. So it's something that's actually required. We can't really dodge this one. Mm-hmm. It has to happen.
Okay. Any questions on that? Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to pass the floor now to Erin.
Okay, I just have one small item. The Southwest Nova Scotia municipal units are, I understand, are going to be asked for up to $1,000 contribution each to go toward the AMA Spring Conference, which is being held in Digby this year. So I'm recommending that the other general admin GL be increased from $12,000 to $13,000 to accommodate that request.
So each unit, did you say?
Yes.
Deputy CAO
was going. Southwest unit.
Unit was going to be.
That's my understanding.
Asked.
Yeah, there's going to be a request coming from AMANS to all the Southwest units.
Okay, and that's just to help with the administration costs for the.
For sponsorship conference. For the conference.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments on that item? Hearing none, we're good.
Okay, thank you very much. Adam?
I just have a few for projects. So one is related to the Jordan River Bridge. Essentially, just the numbers have changed around. We aren't spending as much this fiscal. So going into next, I just got to make sure those numbers, that we have all the money there that needs to be for from all our funding and our contribution. So there's just some slight changes around the total for that. And then the contribution from like gas tax, the province and federal. It's just a slight increase. So it was originally $2,950,000, but that's now up to $2,955,247, and then the breakdown with each grant, which I will give to Michelle. But it's not a huge difference. It just means that I didn't want to lose those funds if I didn't budget correctly for this coming fiscal. That's all.
Okay. So what is the amount?
So it basically, there's four different amounts. So there's the total, mm-hmm. which is $2,955,247. So just over 2.9 million. And then the gas reserve would be 517,169. And then the provincial grant would be 1,805,055.
Sorry, I just meant the additional amount.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
The actual difference.
Yes. And that's coming from the gas tax funds?
It's only about $5,000-$6,000 difference, okay. Technically. So, but that's spread over the various grants, right?
Right.
I just didn't want to lose that.
Sure.
Because we're ending up not spending as much as originally projected.
Right.
So that's
coming from the gas tax funds, will it be, or?
A small amount of that, yes. It's okay. All three, the provincial grant, the federal grant, which is the COA grant, and then yes. The gas tax.
Okay.
It just essentially means we have, it's an increase from what was originally projected for right. Next fiscal. Okay. But not very much.
Great. Thank you.
And then the other item was related to the Woodland Multi-Use Trail Association contribution. So they had put in a request for an additional $5,000, and they did come do a presentation. So between that time and now, I did inquire with, because they did the same request to Municipality of Barrington, and the Barrington has historically given them about $10,000 as a contribution each year.
Okay.
They asked for an additional $15,000 from Barrington, so $10,000 for their maintenance, and then $5,000, which is the same request as us for the honorarium, for a potential to support someone for, I think, more of the administration work or trail management. So Barrington approved an additional $10,000, so they do a total $20,000. but not the additional five. So we do, we've generally in the past have done the 20 as well. So that would bring us the same, or to bring them up to be the same contribution that we would have. And so, yeah, I think we both have the same amount of contribution. Now they have an additional 10 from the Barrington side. So anyway, that's usually we don't match up, but we do, which is good. They now have full support from both sides. But they, my understanding is they didn't do the additional five. They didn't see the need for that at this time. So right now it's 25 in the budget, but I guess the question is the council whether you want to do the additional five or not.
Okay. Were there any other items for you?
No, just those two.
Okay. So how does everyone feel about the additional $5,000 that's being requested? And Councillor Richardson?
Just to be clear, part of that is the five requests towards per diem for somebody.
Yes.
And also that's the part that Barrington
did not approve.
Close didn't approve.
So they approved an additional 10 for their maintenance, and they did not approve the additional five for the honorarium.
Yeah. I know it's sort of equal footing as far as what we've contributed, and actually we contributed more, if I recollect, last year than what Barrington had.
Yes.
It's great they stepped up, but it doesn't, I guess, address the fact that they're struggling to have somebody look after. And one of the things that you have to become aware of, the more and more we use volunteers, and that's exactly what's happening in those groups, it is very difficult for the public to go out and volunteer out of their own pockets. So the idea I think that they projected was that possibly they have some avenue to redeem some of their costs, and therefore hopefully somebody would step forward. So I'm still in favor of the 5,000 being in there.
Thank you for that. Anyone else with questions or comments? Councillor Shand.
So they're working really hard to get that up and going, like to keep it, and they're really struggling. And like you're saying that this 5,000 could maybe be the difference in keeping it going, because if they can have funds to provide to someone to help keep it running, because the people who are currently running it are struggling to do so, they're aging and looking for some fresh blood to come into the organization to really help them out. And that may be the incentive that they need to. So I hate to take more money to give, because we do have a stretched budget, but I also see this is a really good opportunity for the community to have this organization. It is bringing business into our community. The number of four-wheelers and things that you see come through here and parking and having lunch has increased drastically. It's really nice to see. So it's a hard one to really make the yes or no on.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that the municipality of Barrington has increased their assistance as well. I'm in agreement with Councillor Richardson in that, what Councillor Shand just said too, you know, that it may be that $5,000 may be the spark that gets some of the younger people, you know, or I guess it doesn't have to be just younger people, but other people to step up and say, you know, there's a little bit of money there that can help you with maybe some of the traveling that you're doing or whatever. I mean, this group has been working tirelessly for, my heavens, at least 20 years now to connect us. And, you know, and really hats off to them for persevering the way they have. And I think the $5,000 isn't a huge amount, but I think it could make a huge difference. Deputy Warden?
I'm thinking the same thing, that I will support the extra $5,000. However, I would like them to know that this is a one-time $5,000 increment, that it's sort of like a pilot, that we want to see if that $5,000 brings in new people or increases, you know, the involvement. I also, as Councillor Shanna said, seen lots of activity. Some aren't using the trail below my house, but they're still being respectful when they're driving and they're following all the protocols. I will support the 5,000 this year with data coming back to this council for the following year.
So my only question would be, or I guess to be mindful of, is they do, this work would be more than just in the municipality. So if Barrington did not give the money for the honorarium, so the municipality would be, it's, I guess that's going to be used for probably not, I understand the role. It's just, I like the idea of there probably needs to be some outcomes attached with it. And clear that is a one-time thing. And also that they do serve the entire county. It's not just us. So our contribution to that is actually benefiting the Barrington side as well. That's all. Or they can draw from that money that they got from Barrington that they want to hit. Yeah. There might want to be some parameters around it just to ensure. Yeah. That's all.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, really, when you say about it's a like a countywide yeah. project. And I mean, it's the connectivity. So I agree with Deputy Warden for some parameters. I don't want to say that it's a one-time thing because we may get the data and next year look at this again and say, you know, well, maybe we should be continuing to do something and, you know, along these lines. But I do agree with, you know, trying to get as much data as we can to support what we decide to do in coming years. Any other questions or comments, Councillor Richardson?
Just maybe that we convey to the club how they spend that $5,000. In other words, how many times they're out on the trails and what it goes to can be.
Well, it's an honorarium, so.
Well, it's not clear as to what exactly, even when they presented it, wasn't totally clear. But it also could be a situation of we don't relinquish any funds until like the full 5,000 up front. Maybe it's in installments, 25. Just as a way of when you just give the money and then we're not really sure if it's a plan. I myself would like to see some sort of plan and more detailed, like what is the cost? What are you paying somebody or what's their duties? Because it's a trail manager is different than someone that's doing grants. Like there's many different things as an association that could be broke out to more individuals, or is it one person that's doing it all? And that's kind of why burnout happens too.
Yeah.
So would like to see that, I think, if possible, as part of that, to ensure we are giving funds and that it maybe we're happy with this and then or something like related to those outcomes.
So we can leave that.
Yeah. And not that it would be stringent, it's just more. So we feel like that will be achieved, as Deputy Warden kind of noted.
That's a great idea from Deputy Warden, actually, to ensure that there's, I guess, accountability, yes, for those funds. But I'm glad to hear that everyone supports the $5,000. Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions on any of the other issues or items that... the director brought up? Hearing none. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. So there's three items that I wanted to bring up. We just received our bill yesterday for the PVSC assessment services, and that's going up 7.4% from last year. And we had only allowed 3.1%. So I'll be increasing another around $6,600 on the budget to accommodate that bill. I'm looking at adding about another $2,000 for our tax sale legal bills as discussed in switching legal advisors just to allow that buffer. And lastly, as I do regularly mention, I will be running one last time after everyone has done their adjustments. I will run one last extraction to see how our assessment values look. We are receiving appeals back and making adjustments, so it's not something that I have a value on as of yet. But next week when we run another extraction, it will contain the data for any adjustments to date. And the last thing that I want to mention is I did commit to council to just let you know once the low income application period has closed. So for 25-26, we had 177 applications. in the tune of around $65,885. So last year we had 168 applications, but we had slightly more, $66,432.
Okay, thank you for that information. Any questions or comments on these items? Pretty straightforward. Okay, we're good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Val, any addition?
So I just had three items. The first one is the market gap and market readiness project that we're doing this fiscal is going to run into next fiscal. So it's just going to adjust your project budget or projection for this fiscal and move it to next fiscal. I don't know exactly what that amount will be, but it'll be the entirety of the project, I think, was 72. Whatever the remaining that's not finished now will move into next fiscal. So it's just a project overlap, I guess, okay, into the next fiscal.
So not a change in funds?
Not a change in funds. No, okay. No. So it's just running over. So that's it. The other item that needs some clarification is a capital one. Did you want me to talk about that one now too? Okay. So it is the industrial park buyback project. You've seen the legal opinion from the lawyer. The buyback does kind of just remain on the title until the municipality decides either to take it off or buy back the property. So council can decide to move that or remove that to any fiscal, or again, remove it right out. So that'll be a decision that council would want to make. And the other one is just a small item. The Easter event budget will have to be increased as there are two Easters next year, next fiscal. So we have April this year and March next year. So it'll land us two of those items. So we'll be doubling that budget.
Okay, and what was that amount, please?
I believe it was another $2,500.
Okay, and I think with respect to the industrial park buyback project or property, I think we had already provided consensus that we wanted that in this fiscal year. Am I correct on that? I'm looking around the table to see. I thought we had said we wanted to purchase it back as soon as we could.
Sorry.
Anyone? Okay. Councillor Thorburn Irvine?
Same.
We'll just get you to put your mic on there for us, please.
I agree.
Before we make a final decision, I'm just looking to the other councillors for their comments on it.
I don't remember final discussion, but I remember it saying until they forced that at any point until they decide that they no longer, that it would come back to us was the legal opinion that we have the first choice. So we don't have to initiate the basic buyback until they decide that they're ready to.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that we talked about pushing it out to the next budget.
Okay.
CIO.
Because I thought we had talked about, and again, we had a bit of a discussion already on it. So was that if we have it now, then we, you know, the opportunities for it or potential is now as opposed to in a couple of years' time. CAL.
Just one other item for consideration when you're talking about this expenditure. We did get a proposal back from Onica, the desalination water project.
Okay.
So Marcia and I will be engaging with them about that. The potential location for a project like that could be on that property potentially. We're not 100% sure because our sewer outlet is close by, so it may or may not be the right location.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind when you're giving us instructions on this.
Okay. And I think Ms. Dion, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I met with Anika yesterday and I did bring up the location and the fact that there was an effluent release in the area, and they told me that they had zero concerns about water quality in the area and that it was potentially possible to do a seawater ground well in that area. So they have lots of different options if that property suits us in terms of a easily accessible location for the public, they have lots of options for how to get water and how to provide the, you know, the potable water supply from that location.
Okay, thank you for that. CAO?
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in there. If that project were to move forward, I would anticipate that we'd put it into the following year's budget, which would be good if we were successful at actually acquiring the property this year, so that we had it in our back pocket before we looked at that project. I won't go into the details of that project, but the proposal that Annika gave us was pretty intriguing. I think council will be very interested in it, but I think Marcia and I need to do a bit more negotiating and pushing back on Annika to see what we can get out of it. But I think that's relevant.
And the amount is in the budget currently for this purchase. Thank you. Yeah, I feel we should. It's in the budget. I feel we should move ahead with it. Councillor Richardson and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Well, it basically is offering back what they paid for the property, to my understanding. So it's not a value added thing. So no, I'd be in favor of that.
Thank you.
It's strategic. We've got that opportunity. We need to grab it.
Yeah. And the amount is in the budget. Any other questions or comments regarding this item? Okay, so that would be the direction to move forward with that. And what about the other items for Ms. Kane?
Those three was good.
Easter hunt?
Easter
event?
Yep.
And the other was just the market readiness.
Just the crossover.
Yes, the fiscals. Okay.
Okay.
It's like we're all consensus on those items. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Warden. Thank you, Council. Just want to remind directors to make an appointment with Michelle on April 2nd to put these final items into the economic model. And at that time, we'll also have public feedback and council decisions on that public feedback at that time.
Okay. So I'm just adding this up quickly. So is that about an extra $65,000?
I haven't added it up myself right now in front of me.
Okay.
But that sounds about right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Everyone's good with that? All right.
Okay. Thank you very much. The final item I want to talk to council today about is the dynamic economic model scenarios that we have. We have three scenarios. The reason why I need council to make decisions on this today is because depending on what scenarios you wish us to run, that will determine what the motions are going to be on April 15th for the final budget meeting. Mm-hmm. At the present time, we have three models. What am I looking at here, Nicole? Is that the 2% scenario one? Okay, so this is the scenario whereby we have CPI. So there's a number of key inputs into this model. We want consensus on three inputs for each model. So the first is CPI, the second is the assessment lift, and then the third is tax rates. So in all three of these models, there's no adjustment to tax rates, but there are, and all three of them have CPI set at 2%. The differences between the three models are in the assessment lift. One of them has got an assessment lift of 2% for the next 15 years going forward. Staff does not believe that that is a realistic scenario to consider. We have another one which is looking at 6% going forward for the next 15 years. Staff does not recommend that one also. The third model, we're looking at an assessment lift in 2027-28 of 6%. The following year would be 5%. Sorry, did I get a year out?
Just that scenario two is the one that's the one you're talking about now. Scenario three is the 6% out.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm talking about scenario two right now. Yeah. So you'd have a 6% lift in 27-28, 5% in 28-29, 4% in 29-30, and then 3% going out for the remaining, I think it's 11 years after that.
Yes.
The reason why we're supporting, staff is supporting this scenario, is that historically, we've taken a look at the assessment lifts. Prior to COVID, they were averaging around about 3%. And then COVID hit, and then there was a very sharp increase and bump in that. It got to a peak of, I think, close to 11%, something like that. And then the last year, it started to pull back and decline. We think that it would be a reasonable assumption to think that decline is going to continue to historical lifts in the past. Mm-hmm. Once again, we can't predict the future, mm-hmm. but we think that's reasonable. So this is the model that we are recommending you consider for staff to input all the financial inputs into this model. And to draft the motions that are going to go to council on April 15th. If you want to do any tax adjustments, today's the day to tell us what tax adjustments you'll want, and we can put an additional model in, but we'll need to know what tax adjustments are going to apply to which model, which of these three models you want. So I think the first of it is, which of these three models do you want as your primary model for April 15th? So I'll just open that up for discussion right now, and then we can talk about whether or not you want any additional models that have tax adjustments to them.
Okay, thank you for that. And thank you to Councillor Richardson for suggesting scenario two with the 6-5-4-3 and three following after. The other thing to mention, I believe, is for the residential and resource, that's for residential and resource, and commercial would stay at 2% throughout. Are there questions and comments? Deputy Warden and then Councillor Shandon.
I think we had a pretty in-depth conversation on these scenarios at our last meeting, and I'm in support of scenario two. Mm-hmm. And that's holding our tax rate for the upcoming year. And I think that's what our residents are looking for. So my support will be towards scenario two.
Yes. And I think if we look at the totals there with reserves and things, we're within our reserves policy that we just approved as well, which is extremely important moving forward. Councillor Shand and then Councillor Richardson.
Could I get a better explanation of just how this works? Just because it's my first time. So I just want to understand a little more how like this assessment lift actually, what that really means and what it does.
The assessment lift probably has more of an impact than taxes actually on your model. And so we get the assessment from PVSC each year, and almost every year it's increased by a certain percentage, and then we apply the tax rate to that percentage lift. And so historically, it's been around about 3%. So next year, you know, we're probably going to be seeing, you know, a lift much greater than 3%. That's why we're saying start off at 6 and then go 5-4-3. If you look at, like, so right now we're looking at scenario two. So I'll give you a demonstration here just to take a look at. So if you look at the operating reserves, so let's just take a look at the operating reserves come to a low in 2029 of 2.468 million. Nicole, can you go to scenario three, which I believe is the 6% across the board? You can see in that same year, it's the operating reserve. So it's, you can't see a line number. So it's 2.544 million. So it's an extra, 150,000 or something like that. So you can see that. And then when you go across, the numbers increase dramatically over time. So if you look at the, 2041, looking at it's like 46 million. And by the way, I just want to qualify that because it looks like such a huge number. The reason is that as you go out in time, we don't have as many projects filled in those subsequent years. So mm-hmm. it is an unrealistic number at the end of the project, the end of the 15 years. We have a very high certainty of the first 5 years. But just for demonstration purposes, if you look at that line where you've got the operating reserve, it's 46 million. If you go back to scenario two, you see that that's 17 million. So it has a dramatic impact on your financial projections. So it is really important that we try and estimate the most realistic assessment lift going forward. And once again, it is a guess. But it's our best guess.
The best estimate.
Yeah. But it allows you as counselors to get a sense for where you're moving forward and what the impact is on your reserves going forward. And right now with the scenarios that we're looking at, scenario two puts us in a, in a fairly stable situation right now. We're not in breach of our reserve policy. You're going to have reserves that remain above that policy threshold. So if anything unexpected were to come our way, I believe that you would have the funds that you need to deal with that. So I think from my perspective as a CAO, I'm pleased with the decisions that council has made throughout this budget planning process. I think it provides a sustainable financial projection going forward. That, however, could change if you ask me to do additional scenarios with tax changes. And we would run those additional models and we could show them to you on the April 1st meeting. But we would need to know that today from you.
Okay. Thank you for that, CEO. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Sure. Certainly. For Councilor Shin. Mm-hmm. Director of Finance, you had supplied us with a history of how the investments went over, like the percentages each year.
Yeah.
Angie wasn't with us, so that might be beneficial if you could forward her that document to see how you like come up with those percentages. Okay. So I think that would give her some insight of over the years.
Yeah. That's a good argument. But the other thing that I wanted to just mention, CAO, is if we're doing scenarios for next week, it's going to be under the current data and not these new changes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the new changes are not going to dramatically impact it. For example, like if you take a look at scenario two right now, when you look at the reserve difference per policy, so I'm looking at that line for, if you look at 2029, we get to a low of 271,289. So we just mm-hmm. go up a little bit there, Nicole, mm-hmm. right there. Mm-hmm. That's where that's how close you are to breaching the policy. So by adding an expense of 65,000 here, you're not gonna breach your policy. Mm-hmm. So you're safe with the 65,000. I don't anticipate that change. If you want to look at scenarios where you're reducing taxes, then I think you're going to, depending on how much, you're probably going to breach your reserve policy.
Yeah. And we had made a motion, gosh, I can't remember when it was now, about selling some of our surplus properties. So that amount goes into capital reserve, correct?
Correct.
So when we're looking at moving forward, in 2027, 2028, hopefully that amount is going to increase. And so that we don't see banks there, 28, 29, that there will be money come from the sale of those surplus properties as well, which will hopefully change the numbers in a positive way again. So, yeah. But again, as the CAO said, you know, these are our best estimates. Mm-hmm. And why we have a budget discussion every year. I have Councillor Richardson and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Again, back to scenario two, I think it is the best model, I think, going forward. It's used in history and what has happened, you know, in the marketplace. And just to Councillor Shan's question that when COVID came along, what we have found out is our properties were sorely undervalued. With new market demands and people moving in, we've seen a dramatic increase in assessments and valuation. And that is beginning to level out. But of course, what it has done, all those properties that have been out there, not just the new ones, have been raised. So they've contributed a lot to the lift, but again, it's probably going to level off and we'll be back. Well, I won't say who can predict the future, but I think this is the most conservative one. And I would like to say that at this time, no, I'm not interested in looking at a different tax change.
So. Thank you for that. And just to a point that you raised, Councillor Richardson, I too agree that these are conservative numbers. These aren't kind of like pie in the sky numbers that we're looking at for percentages. So, Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. So I'd like to make some comments about what has been said around the table just now. So number one, you know, it's been made clear from our CAO and the discussions that we have a fiduciary responsibility to both our taxpayers and to the municipality as a corporation. And so we've set that policy rate. So we've done that. And I'm also in favor of scenario two to Councillor Shan's new perspective. It's everything, of course, that both the CAO and Councillor Richardson said, but I just want to make the point that it is driven by our CPI. And that, so the consumer price index is set by the province. I think it's either October or November. And then from there, Property Valuation Corporation Services applies that CPI to our tax assessment, to our property assessments. And so in COVID, I believe I've latched onto this number correctly. I think it was 2021. We saw a CPI of 7.6% way out there. And it was all those inflationary pressures. And every single one of us are living in times right now where we're seeing increased inflationary pressures. And we'll end up seeing it in a CPI. So I think that 2% is vastly conservative because we're going to see it different come next January, and it'll be a positive in terms of property assessment valuations and resulting in a positive lift for us. And again, it'll be another alarm bell ringing off for community members because their property valuations will have gone up again, and it won't have anything to do with the tax rate. It'll have everything to do with inflation.
Okay, thank you, CEO, and then Deputy Warden.
Yeah, I just want to jump in there, Councillor Thorburn Irvine. I just want to separate out, you made one statement there that PVSC makes their adjustments based on CPI. That's not actually correct.
They're quiet, though.
No, they don't. They base their assessment lifts on market data.
Yeah.
On actual sales that have occurred within an area.
Yeah. It's multifactorial for sure.
It's, but they don't look at the provincial CPI rate. It has nothing to do with their assessment lift. It has been inflationary in the sense that properties have during the COVID period have increased in value, but the calculations that PVSC make, they don't apply a provincial CPI value at all to their calculations. It's based on purely on historical sales.
I thought they did. I stand corrected.
Yeah. So the two are inflationary. CPI really applies to our estimate on what our costs are going to increase by. We have based our 2% CPI in the model based on the Bank of Canada estimations for CPI for next year. Unfortunately, the best forecast you're going to get are only 1 year out with Bank of Canada. So that's why we've applied 2% for the next 15 years. It's pretty much impossible to determine what that number is going to be. We just go by our best estimate for the next year through Bank of Canada. The 6.543% estimates for assessment lift is based on basically the bell curve that we think is occurring with the assessment lifts looking back at historical assessment values where they were in the 3% range for, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Michelle, going back to the last 10 years for the first sort of 4 or 5 years, we then hit the COVID. It went to a peak of about 11%. It's now down to around about 9%. And we're projecting a conservative estimate to come down to around about 6%. And I say conservative because there's every expectation that it could potentially be higher than that. It could be still stay at 9% or 8% or something like that, in which case it's a bonus for you because you're
that's what I
get,
just said.
You're actually going to get more revenue than anticipated. But we've come up with what we think is a conservative estimate so that when you're making your decisions, these are conservative numbers. And I think you have every expectation to think that actually in reality, they might actually be a little better than this. But for financial planning, you do want to err on the conservative side.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Deputy Warden.
And I see just the little bit I've been reading and been involved into that mortgage rates are looking to hold for a little bit longer. So we're going to see still an influx of sales and our deed transfer tax credits that come in that I think that we'll see that number of what we had discussed previously. I think it's going to benefit us for this coming year. So I think we're very conservative in our 6%.
Okay, thank you for that. Nicole?
Councillor Sutherland just wrote in the chat and said that she is in agreement with scenario 2.
Great, thank you for that. Any other questions, comments, discussions regarding these scenarios? I think it's the consensus around the table that we do go scenario 2.
Okay.
Thank you. Lots of nodding heads. So yes, that's the consensus.
Can you provide us direction if you want any additional scenarios with tax adjustments, please?
Any need for any other scenarios? No, I think everyone is happy with scenario 2.
Thank you very much, Warden. Thank you, Council. That is everything we have, I believe.
So then on next week, then things won't change. Like we don't have these new items added. So there's no new scenarios to run. So it will look like this. But then after next week's meeting, if there's any further adjustments from the public feedback, then that would be added in. And then the fresh scenarios would happen at the April 15th meeting. Okay. So there'll be no new documents between now and then.
And thank you for that, because that just reminded me of the question that I was going to ask. The RCMP amount, that increased just a minor amount as well, didn't it? Yeah, like a couple thousand dollars or something, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, any other questions, comments, Councillor Richardson?
Just a question to that point. There's been no indication from them of any changes afoot this year? That's a loaded question.
The last time we met the Minister of Justice at the end of last year, there was an indication at that point in time that they were going to change the funding model or mechanism. Right now, the funding mechanism is on a per constable basis, and there's a formula that's applied to that. At that time, identified that we would probably have that by January, and that the new calculations for this coming fiscal year would be based on that. That did not happen. They sent us a message back that they need to do more consultation. They didn't identify who the consultation was going to be with. So it is an unknown right now. We don't know how that's going to occur. What they did do was they said, here's your new calculation based on the old formula. And we had done a projection of 3.1%, and I think the new number that RCMP came back with was, I think, 3.41%, something like that. So we were close in our estimation. It doesn't dramatically change our budget, but going forward next year, it's a mystery. We don't know the answer.
And I guess that was my question, is they didn't give us a timeline, so yeah. We just have to watch it.
Yeah, again, best estimate based on what we know. And, you know, some of those mandatory contributions are the ones that are the scariest because they're the largest amounts. And 1% on $1 million is a lot more than 1% on $10,000. So any other questions or comments? Okay, so we know how we're moving forward with scenario number two. Our next meeting is April 1st at 8:30. And the public have until March 31st at noon to provide their comments to Nicole. Anything further before we adjourn, CAO? Okay, thank you all. And we will adjourn at 9:35 a.m.